من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين.
Shaitanic thoughts all come from Iblis. As whispers designed to void us of peace, he whispers 8 whispers, corrupting Iman. If that doesn't work, he changes the plan. Know your enemy. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَعُونَهُمْ. We are at a disadvantage by ourselves, but we have a superpower. 2 superpowers, actually. Dua and reading. Welcome to Outlining Fiqh. Okay, we're back. My recording software is working again, so how are you doing, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah. Everything is fine. How was everything with everybody here?
MashaAllah. All's well.
Alhamdulillah.
Nah, so we are in a summary of Islamic jurisprudence by Sheikh Saleh Fozan, and this is the chapter on gift and donation, Unit 4, Chapter 6. Page number 230 if you're following along in the PDF file, and page number 213 if you're looking at the printed book. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, let's begin.
Okay, go ahead.
Gift and donation. The gift refers to a donation of a specified amount of property given by a person legally qualified to manage his own property. Sheikh, I just remembered something before we began. Do you mind? I had a question.
Go ahead.
It's about the previous chapter on waqf. Are women allowed to establish awqaf?
Yes.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. All right, so we'll continue.
Why would they not be?
Because in the previous chapter, the author mentioned that the feeble-minded people are not able to establish awqaf. And I remembered our conversation in the past about what that means.
Okay, I understand. Jazakallah khair.
Nah.
Okay, so the issue, just to make the issue clear. So, women and children are mentioned in Surah An-Nisa as being feeble-minded, sometimes as fools. And in this regard, this is not their permanent situation. This is just until you test them and determine the level. And then once they are entrusted, you know, then you can base your interactions on them on that. But when it comes to al-waqf, the default is that you're dealing with the same person when it comes to an adult, male or female. And women have established many awqaf in Islam. I was remembering in Turkey when you asked the question, there was one of the sultan's wives who established an awqaf for giving water at a well. And still to this day, they're giving free water at this place. They turned it from a well into a where you could come and turn on the water and just get water, you know, what is it called thing? A spout and everything like that. And people come in the entire neighborhood and they get free water, even though, you know, people are paying for water nowadays. Anybody who wants to get free water, they come and they fill their buckets up and they bring it back to their homes in that way, you know, in their containers. So her waqf is still going, and it was going since like the 1800s. Okay? It's still going.
Nah.
So, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.
Nah, jazakallah khair.
So in this chapter here, you're talking about al-hiba and al-athiyah. Al-hiba represents what a gift is. If we have Allah, he is al-wahhab, the ultimate gift giver. So, but a gift is called hibatan. Okay, the waw is dropped and the tam mabuta is added. So from wahaba is to gift, he gifted, to hibatan, a gift. and Atiya A'taytani, he gave me to Atiya, which is something that is, again, given to you. So this is like a donation. Okay?
No.
Continue. These are the terms that we're going to use is Hiba and Atiya. Ayn, Ta, Ya, Tarabut, Atiya. Fadla.
No, understood. To continue, the Prophet ﷺ used to give and accept gifts. Thus, giving or accepting, the Prophet ﷺ, he used to give and accept al-hibah. Thus, giving or accepting al-hibah is a recommended act of the Sunnah prophetic tradition due to its consequent virtues.
You see, in Arabic, it always starts, and this is the difference in the presentation. In the Arabic text, it presents the terms and defines the terms first. Okay? And this is important for understanding the concepts connected to it. Like I said, al-hiba is from wahaba, to gift, right? So it says, hiya tabarru'u min ja'izin tasarrufi fi hayatihi li ghayrihi bimalin ma'lun. Okay? So it is tabarru'u. Okay, so this is like a good thing he's giving, you know, from a person who is ja'izit tasarruf. And this goes to your question. Someone who is permissible to, to do something with. Someone who's permitted to spend from his own wealth during his lifetime to someone else from a specific amount of wealth or something. Whereas then you said, وَقَدْ كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُهْدِي وَيُحْضَى إِلَيْهِ. The Prophet used to give gifts and he used to be given gifts. وَيُعْطَى وَيُعْطِي. And he was donated to and things were donated, he donated to others. فَالْهِبَةُ وَالْهَدِيَّةُ من السنة المرغبة فيها. So gifting and والهدية, you know, giving gifts is something that is encouraged in the Sunnah, and you can, especially if it's going to bring about some masalih, some good things. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Tahadu tahabu, right? If you give gifts, you will love each other. Okay? Continue from there, please. I'm sure it has that part in the English.
Naam. The Prophet ﷺ said what may mean, give presents to one another to gain the love of one another. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said what may mean, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ used to accept hibah and give something in return. The Prophet,
and this is just the beauty of the Prophet. So this is just the beauty of the Prophet. He didn't have to give anything in return. It doesn't. It's not wajib to give something in return if you've been given a gift, but it is sunnah, and it is also from manliness, and it's good politics. So then people can't play games when you say I gifted you, but you know you gave them something back. You get my point?
Nah.
And you find this with some of the Sahaba as well. I think it was Ibn Abbas. No one came to him and said, Jazakumullah khair. Even something like Jazakumullah khair, except that he made dua for them right then and there. So you made dua for me, I made dua for you. Continue.
Now, the Prophet ﷺ said what may mean, give presents to one another, for a present removes rancor. And this present, this is also hibah, right?
Yes.
Nah.
And so hiba is the gift. The act is hadiyah.
Nah. The hiba belongs to the recipient once he gets it with the permission of the giver, after which the latter is prohibited.
But you missed it. You did not articulate, okay, the benefit of the hadith. Tahadu, he says give gifts, right? Because gift giving takes away, what did you call it? Rancor?
Rancor.
Is that okay? I know the word, but we don't use it in general English. Could you give us a different word?
Resentment? It says, maybe?
Not right. Sakhima is like, you know, hatred towards one another. Mm. Bad taste in your mouth towards the other person. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so this is what's important. You know, you don't want to have, you know, animosity and bad vibes with people. So he says give gifts. Now, what type of gifts should you give? Something that is impacting, not useless. Okay? It should be something, you know, that is meaningful and would be useful to the person. Continue.
Nah. The hiba belongs to the recipient once he gets it with the permission of the giver, after which the latter is prohibited to take it back. However, if the hiba is not yet given to the recipient, it is permissible for the giver to take it back due to the following hadith narrated by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. She narrated that Abu Bakr Siddiq, her father, granted her an amount of 20 wasks of the dates of some palm trees in Al-Aliya, a place near Medina, a year. Then when Abu Bakr fell ill, he said to her, O my daughter, I granted you some palm trees in Al-Aliya, which would produce 20 wasks of date a year. If you renewed and possessed them, they would belong to you. Yet they are considered now a property of all my heirs. So divide them according to the book of Allah. Exalted be He.
Okay, so here is an issue with this hadith. Is that, okay, number one, the issue with the statement you made has to be clarified. A gift, once it is qabad, once it is received in the hand of the recipient, and that's what's important here, once it was in his hands, if it is before he takes possession of it by hand, then you have the issue of it not being fully the other person's property. Then you have, that's one thing you have to clarify. It has to have been received physically and taken control of by the one who it was gifted to. Second, this hadith is difficult because it's the father over the child. And the father is a person, no matter what the circumstances is, can take anything he gives to the child, can take it back. Okay, so some would say, no, this is just the right of the father to do so, and not as you stated. But so you have to clarify that the issue here is not this, that is this, that she did not take possession of the gift. Ma qabadathu. Okay, that's the issue here. It's the distinguishing factor here. All right, continue.
Now, if one is granted a gift that is already a trust with him, or borrowed money in his liability, it becomes his without having to give it back and retake it from the giver.
Now, you see the point there? You see that issue being made clear again? He already has it in his possession. Let's say I entrusted you with a bottle of honey. And said, listen, I'm traveling. I have this container of honey. I don't want to leave it in my home because I'm afraid that my children may use it, and I don't want them to use it. You know, I give it to you and say, please, this is a trust. I'm going to make Umrah, watch it for me. And then I decide to go to Ethiopia. And so I say to you, you know what? You can have that. I'm gifting that container of honey to you. You already have possession of it. You do not have to come to me, give it to me, and then I give it back to you.
Naam.
Fadl. However, if you didn't have it, and it's still in my home, and you said, well, I got the keys to his home, and I was just going by to watch it, and I never took possession, now you have the right to go in there and take possession of it. Okay?
Naam.
Because you have my keys. Go ahead.
Also, it is permissible for the creditor to give up the debt as a hibah to the debtor, and thus there will be no liability on the part of the debtor to pay back such a debt.
This is ma'lum. This is what they call a well-known fact and an encouraged act on the one who is on the creditor. Okay? The one who loaned the money. That if someone was to complain or something like that, if he gives up the gift, the debt, and says, okay, it's just a gift for you, you keep it. Okay? Now, when they speak about this in deeper levels, they state that the creditor has to have the ability to enforce receiving the money back. It cannot be like the person is strong-arming him, and he just says he's a get, because there's no manhood in that. Okay? He has to be in position to say, demand the money back, demand the debt back, or do something about it. Okay, and then he says, okay, no, I'm not going to enforce my ability to put you under pressure, put you under negative situation. That's what I'm alleviating. But if we say if both of them have their swords out and they're at distance, then you didn't have mercy on him by walking away. Does that make sense?
Yes, understood.
You have to knock him down, take his sword out of his hand, and have the sword above his head ready to stab him, and then you have mercy on him and don't stab him. Continue.
But if someone does that, it still counts, right?
If someone does what? I didn't understand.
If someone's owed a debt from someone else and they really don't have the ability to take the money back, but they just say, I'm giving this to you. That still counts, right?
It depends on their intent. No, I can't say that. I can say, what is his intention? What is his intention in that regard? Now, if his intention was avoiding hostilities between another Muslim, you know, but is it avoiding justice, or is it just a smooth robbery by the other person?
Okay, I see.
Because if it's a robbery by the other person, it's haram for him. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told, I'm talking about, it's haram for the gift giver to gift it to him. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, if someone was to take your property, what took my property, what should I do? The Prophet said, you should fight him. And he said, but what if he kills me? Then you die a martyr. What if I kill him? Then he gets to fire. So we're taught constantly how to maintain boundaries and manhood. You see, when a person gave the Prophet a gift, he gave him something back. Doesn't have to be equal, right? But there's manhood in giving something back. We do not pretend that strong-arming me is actually me giving you a gift. That's weakness.
Understood.
No.
Okay. In addition,
let me give you another example. The woman was married. The daughter was married against her will. What did she do? She went to the Prophet and said, "Ya Rasulullah, can a woman be married against her will?" No. Well, my father did that to me. He married me to my cousin, and I did not agree. Well, that marriage is void. That marriage is not allowed. She said, okay, I just wanted to make it clear to everyone that I don't have to do this. I will accept marrying my cousin now. And she married her cousin. You see that? She didn't do it until she made it clear, I don't got to do this. So if we can do what that little girl did, that young fatah, the young maiden she did, That's how we should be. When no one's going to strong arm us in Islam. And Islam doesn't allow the strong arming of anyone, even the father over his daughter.
Nah.
Anyway, the fuck.
I'm just writing this down. This is good information, just so you... Now, to continue. In addition, it is permissible to give as a hibah whatever can be legally sold. It is invalid to make the hibah dependent on a future condition, as when the giver says to the recipient, if such and such happens, this hibah will be yours.
Yeah, this is superstitious. This is what do you call it? You know, it's like you're like gambling, or you're like betting and stuff like that, or it could be like I'm gonna pay into it, you know, for getting what with something like that. No, you know, you don't do it that way. You give the gift if you want to give the gift, okay?
Nah. In this case, the gift will be regarded as a bequest and will entail the latter's rulings. The hibah will be regarded as a wasiya. Is that right?
Yes.
Nah. On the other hand, it is invalid to give a temporary hibah, as when the giver says, I will give you such and such a hibah only for a month or a year. This is because a hibah is a kind of property possession, just like a sold article, so it cannot be temporarily granted. It is impermissible for a father to give a hibah to one or some of his children without giving similar hibat to the other, as it is obligatory for him to be just and to treat all of them as equals, giving them equal hibat.
This is very important because the reasoning, as he states in this narrative, in his fiqh, that brothers and sisters do not have rank. Okay? So a lot of people misunderstand this, and they focus on jealousy. It's not jealousy. Okay, because the Muslim should be free of being jealous. And people get things on different times, but they should get their equal gifts. But it's a thing of treating all of them as equals. You know, one is not of higher rank, one does not get. And this also shows that the father, it is encouraged for the father to have things to give. Okay?
No.
And so that there's dignity amongst the children that he has. Islam encourages us to be wealthy and to give, like I said, meaningful gifts in that way to increase in the dignity of all the children. Equal ranking.
Nah, so this doesn't necessarily include privileges, right? Like, say you have two children and you decide to only let one of them drive your car, even though they both can. Is that permissible?
Yes, that's permissible because you may, for whatever reason, allow this one the privilege to do that because you trust that particular child and the other one hasn't earned your trust in that regard. So... You know, and it may be that they're less skilled. It's that you trust this one more than the other to do what you want them to do with your vehicle. You know, or you just decided you didn't want the other one to do it for whatever other personal reasons you have, but you, you know, trust them somewhere else. Privileges or something, jobs or something different. And fathers have the right to give their children different types of jobs based on what he feels their capabilities are and where he can trust them.
Nam, to proceed. And Nu'man ibn Bashir narrated that once his father gave him a gift, a hibah, and accompanied him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to make him a witness to this hibah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him what may mean, have you given equivalent ones to every one of your children? When the man answered in the negative, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, take it back, and added, fear Allah and be just to your children, compiled by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This hadith states that it is obligatory for parents to treat their children justly and equally and to give them equal hibat. It also indicates that it is prohibited for a Muslim to be a witness to such a hibah or help to carry it out, as long as he knows it's injustice.
Okay, so now there has to be clarity here, okay? Alhamdulillah. First of all, this is called shahadat az-zur. Shahadat az-zur is to watch and be a part of injustice. And it's a very, very important aspect of Islam. We're doing it now by watching all these different oppressions take place in the world and not doing anything about it. Okay? And just witnessing it. It's called shahadat az-zur. Points to our weakness, you know, that we watch and don't do anything or feel that it was illegal for us to do something or feel that we're afraid of losing some of our dunya, you know, if we're doing something. Because by doing that, then that allows the room to get higher, okay, to increase. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And Makana Sahaba Hakata, and the Sahaba were not like this. You see, during the issue of Uthman, his murder, people came, Muslims came from all over the Muslim world and chose a side. And the same thing with Ali. They didn't sit there and watch the oppression. They came and they chose sides. They did something about it. And then the same thing with Hajjaj and Abdul Malik ibn Marwan and Abdullah ibn Zubair. If people came and they said, no, we're not going to watch this. We're going to choose a side and live and die on that. And this is manhood. This is the sunnah. But no one sat down and just watched it and said, I'm not going to do anything about it. Wow, what a shame. Oh, du'as, heartbroken, tears, and stuff like that. I'm with God, shaking my head, and all this other faggot crap that we see the Muslims doing nowadays. Okay? Talking about the men. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, he kept it real. He kept it 100 every time. No, I'm not going to be a witness. I'm not going to give you the baraka of my, you know, involvement when you only did it to one child. How's that going to look? Prophet ﷺ was there and just this one child and not all of them got something. Then I would set this one child up to be superior to the others. Okay, and Islam does not approve of that. Children are equal, whether they have the same mother or don't have the same mother. Okay, they're on the same rank. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ, not only did he not take part, he corrected.
Nah.
He corrected it. Okay, so alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Now, there's another thing that can be laid here is that if the man, because some people says, well, what if I don't have enough money to give all the children a gift at the same time, but I like this gift for this child and I'm going to get similar ones in the future. You say inshallah and hope that you can do that because, you know, your life may be taken away from you before you're able to find the suitable gifts for all of them, you know, in this regard. So maybe you should save up your money and buy that gift and put it to the side for that particular child until you have purchased the ones equal for the all the others, right? And since he has not qabadahu, received it in hand, it's not illegal for you to get it and hold it for that child. As we mentioned earlier, like what happened with Abu Bakr and Aisha. He had the guard, he did not hand it over to her in her hand as yet, even though he had then given her the 20. Was bushels that was coming from it every year. Right? And who knows why he hadn't given it to her by hand. Maybe he didn't have something to give to the others at the moment. So, this is a solution to that. And Allah knows best.
Nah. Does this also apply to the Rabiba, Shaykh?
A Rabiba is not equal in with the children, is raised like that, but it would be who the person also to give the Rabiba a gift. Okay? But no. It doesn't, the Rabiba is not considered your daughter, because the Rabiba has a father.
No.
And the Rabiba's name doesn't change because she is your Rabiba. Okay? But because she is in your home, you should give her something. And this is from the person who gets from that one third that you could take a portion and leave them something behind, because they're not going to inherit from you like your other children. They're not going to get the fara'id. So this is the reason why you give her something, you write something in your will for her. Or him. No. You get my point? Or him?
Yes, sir.
You know, so especially because you know, and what would be wise to is to figure out how much her portion should not be more than your son's, if it's a female or if it's a male.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Makes sense.
Hey, what the fuck?
When the recipient takes the hibba, the giver is prohibited to take it back due to the following hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas. The Prophet ﷺ said what may mean, "He who takes back a hibba which he has already given is like a dog that vomits and then swallows its vomit." This hadith indicates the prohibition of taking back the hibba, except for a hibba granted by a father to his child, as stated in the following hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said what may mean, "It is not lawful for anyone to give a hibba and then take it back, except for the parent who takes back what he has given to his child," compiled by the five compilers of hadith and deemed sahih by At-Tirmidhi.
Okay, so here they translate the word illa al-walida, and it doesn't say a parent, it says the father. Illa al-walid. Okay? Fima yu'ti waladahu. It doesn't say it in the plural. It doesn't say it in dual. Okay? It says the father, fima, what he's given to his son. Waladahu. It doesn't say waladaha or waladahuma. It says his son. And so, but their translation is following the stance taken by some of the Hanbali scholars, where they use this term and they say both parents. But what is ma'lum is that it is agreed upon that it is the father. What is disagreed upon is if the mother plays a role in that as well. As far as I am understanding, she does not play a role in being able to take back the gift. And what points to that is this hadith. It says, in what he gives him, meaning his son. And it says his son, not their son or her son.
No. Understood. As long as he does not harm his child or deprive him of his needs, the father is permitted to take from the property of his child due to the hadith narrated by Aisha, stating that the Prophet ﷺ said what may mean, "The pleasantest things you enjoy come from what you earn, and your children come from what you earn as well," compiled by At-Tirmidhi and other compilers of hadith, and he deemed it Hasan, good hadith.
Okay, so this is very important as well, because a lot of people do not understand this hadith and do not practice it. And let's say, for example, in the United States, a lot of times, they give the wealth of the child to the mother and act as though the father is a bum if he yatasarrafu fi. For example, let's say a child is getting some form of welfare, whether it is food stamps or whether it is a monthly stipends from the government. That money and wealth can be taken by the father, and it is only under the tasarruf of the father. Never in the Sharia does the Sharia, Allah, you know, the guidance of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, put the wealth of the child in the hands of a woman. Rather, it is always put in the hands of the father or his family members, his male family members, his brother, his father, and these things like that. But the kuffar do this and give it to the women. Canada does this. United States does this in order to destabilize the family. And now the woman has to say over the wealth or has to on her own handed over to the father or her husband to have say over. Also, when the father takes the child's money, they say that's his. Another way of destabilizing the position of the father is someone will buy the father's son a gift, let's say like a bicycle. And if the father says, I don't want you riding that bicycle because I'm just, you know, you didn't do what I asked you to do, now I'm going to tell you you cannot ride your bicycle for a week. That ain't your bike. You didn't buy him that bike. Okay, you can't tell him what to do with that bike. And so for these reasons, Islam makes it very clear. Everything the child owns belongs to the father. And anytime he wants to do anything with it, take it, restrict the child from it, give it away to someone he decides to give it away to, he is in no way wrong for doing any of those things, nor answerable to anybody about that.
Mm.
Okay? Because the son himself is his wealth.
Mm.
It's similar to what my father told me. When I first started working, I learned about before 1K. And this was pretty new back in the 80s. So I came home and I spoke to my father and I said, hey, old man, did you know they have this thing called 401K? And I'm putting money into it. You know, what do you think? Do you have a retirement plan? He says, I don't put no money in that 401K nonsense. And I'm not saving no money for no retirement. I said, well, what's your retirement plan? He said, you my retirement plan. Okay, me and my brothers. Okay, got four sons. What do I need a retirement plan for? And I laughed, and he laughed. Well, he didn't really laugh, but I laughed because I thought my father was funny. But as I've gotten older over the years, I realized that he was not joking. His retirement plan is his sons. Why does he need to give money to a bank when he can put all his money into his sons, educating, protecting, and providing for them? And then that should pay off for him, right?
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Naam. There are some similar ahadith indicating the permissibility for the father to take, possess, and eat from the property of his child, provided that the father does not harm his child or affect his needs. Sheikh,
this is an addition that is not in the narration. This is a nowadays addition. Okay, it's not in any of the books of the past. This last statement, as long as, put a line through that. Okay,
nah.
Because even the Sharia assumes certain things. Amongst the things it assumes is that the father would never do is harm his own child. As you'll see when we get to the Hudud, the father is not prosecuted for killing his son.
Mm.
Okay? So
yes, sir.
The Sharia does not look at those things like that. If a father has harmed his child, there has to be a reason behind it, because it is not natural.
Mm.
Okay, it's not natural. So, what do you call it? This is an addition. What is assumed is that the son eats from the father's plate. How can he take care of his needs? How did he become born into this world? How was he raised? Except that the father provided for his needs. But this new addition is added because the world is spiraling backwards, you know, and people are degenerating. And the household is being broken up and there's no longer trust and they're not promoting the trust of the father. So now who is to determine if his needs are being met or not? Now this would negate the whole rule because now with this vague statement, everyone can claim, well, he's taking care away from my needs. I cannot. And I'm not going to allow my father to take from me anymore. Do you understand how that negates the rule?
Yes, sir. So it's not a legitimate claim that they make, is what you're saying. Are you saying that it's not legitimate for them to claim?
not only is it non-legitimate because it's not written into the Sharia, nor was it ever interpreted that way. Okay? Number two, it's once you add that in there, you've now usurped the authority of the father to take it, and putting the authority into someone else's hand to authorize him and to check his move. And Islam hasn't set up the situation for anyone to check the father's moves over his child. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Yes, sir.
Right. So now, oh, no, I'm going to look into that and see if I can allow you to do that. Or well, I'm just going to give you this amount for the rest I need for myself. No, anything you need, you ask your father for if you don't have it. Okay? But they're usurping his authority by putting this rule in there that didn't exist prior. And it wasn't there even for the gifts, right? We're talking about Hiba and Atiya. No, it wasn't there. He gives him the gift, or he takes it back. Oh, I needed that. I needed that gift. Give it back. No. You don't have the authority. Because the prophet, the father, the father has the authority to say, no, I don't want you to have this, even if you need it, because I don't trust you with it.
Mm.
Or I don't want you to have it. You know what I'm saying? I don't, you know, I remember when I was in Turkey, I was with a sheikh in Bursa of Tafsir. And I was lazim tuhu. I was with him a lot. And one day we were in a vehicle together, and he was chastising one of his sons. And his son is a grown man. He said to his son, I told you to do X, Y, Z. If I have to tell you to do it again, I'm going to go to your job. His job worked in a factory or something, and tell the owner of the job not to pay you anymore. Okay? Take your money and give it to me. Okay? I'm going to take your entire salary. Okay? Have a deposit in my bank account. Okay? And so the son, he had two sons. One was driving, and one was, you know, the other one was in the car, a little bit younger. The older one started to laugh because he knew his father would do it. You know what I'm saying? And now you'd be working, and you would not get paid. Now, Turkey is an Islamic country, you know? And people try to talk bad about it, but they have that in place. If the father came to the job and said, do not pay this child, rather put the money in my account, I'm his father, they would do it in a heartbeat. Okay? Of course that young man needs his money and wants his money and can complain about whatever he can complain about. So, you know, they're trying to negate the Sharia in subtle ways nowadays. I'm not saying I'm suspecting Sheikh Falzan, but I'm saying this is the nature of the world nowadays. If you don't study fiqh from a traditional perspective and then read into the modern translations and interpretations there and understand the objective of the Sharia. Okay?
Yes, sir. I understand. Does this also apply to the daughter?
Of course.
No.
A child is a child.
Okay. To continue. Moreover, by saying to a man, you and your property belong to your father, the Prophet ﷺ obligates the child to serve his father. This makes it permissible for the father to take from the property of his child whenever he needs. Still, it is impermissible for the father to take and possess from the property of his child in a way that harms the latter or deprives him of his needs. As the Prophet ﷺ said, what may mean, one should not harm others, nor should one seek benefit for oneself by causing harm to others.
Okay, so alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, again, you see, there's a contradiction. Whenever there's contradiction you in the Sharia, you know that there's something wrong there, okay?
Mm.
you know that that it's from the humans and not from the Sharia. So here it says, "Anta wa maluka li abik." It says, "You and all of your wealth are for your father." This is a umumul qawl. This is a general statement. It's comprehensive. "Wa maluka" is complete. All of your wealth. It doesn't say some of your wealth. "Illa ma," except what you need. No, nowhere is that written into the Sharia. Then it says, "Yaqtadi." This statement, "Yaqtadi," means ibahata nafsihi li abihi wa ka ibahati malihi, that everything this child or this child of the father is mubah, ibaha, himself and his wealth. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You." So how can he now be separate from his wealth? When he says, "You and your wealth are for your father." So then how can he say, "Well, I need this wealth, so you can't have it." You are mine as well. Do you understand the statement?
No.
I understand the statement.
Right. So if he himself is possessed by his father, and what does that mean? That he can do, he is like a slave to his father. His father is the one that he is owned by his father. All of your actions are for his father. Allah says, "Wa'budu Allah wa bil walidayni ihsanan," which can be interpreted as worship Allah and do everything but worship your parents. Serve them in such a way. So then after that, he says, "فَيَجِبُ عَلَى الْوَالِدِ عَلَى الْوَلَدِ أَنْ يَخْدِمَ أَبَاهَا بِنَفْسِهِ أَوْ بِمَالِهِ." He says, so then it is wajib on the son, the child, to يَخْدِمَ, to be the khadim, the servant, and in the service of his father with himself, بِنَفْسِهِ, with his physical self and with his wealth. And it's not in ahtaja ila dhalika, la. Because there we have the hadith that precedes this statement, where the child went to, the son went to the prophet and complained that he was taking his money, and that the father did not need the money, and that the son didn't even know why he was taking it, but he knew he was taking it and giving it away. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the background to this hadith that we just read into, sent for the man. And when the man was sent for, the father, he made dua. And when he returned, when he got to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibreel had already beat him to the Prophet. And he had said to him, he asked Jibril, he had told the Prophet something, and the Prophet said, "What dua did you make before you came over here? Because Jibril came to me and said such and such and so and so." And he was saying, I was hoping that you would understand the situation, basically. And so I provided for this child. I gave birth to this child. I raised this child, and I'm taking the money, yes, because I want to give it to his aunt who doesn't have such and such and so and so. Meaning, I am at-tasarraf, I am taking care of the whole family. Mm. Yeah, I take his money, I take his money and I give it to an aunt that he has that doesn't have anything, and I'm taking care of her and things like that. And the Prophet turned to the man and said, "You and all of your wealth belong to your father." That's where we get this statement from. So from the very hadith itself, there was someone who's complaining about his needs and about how his father's taking his money and he don't know what he's doing with it and he doesn't like it. So how can you add these conditions at the end of it that contradict the beginning of the hadith? And the beginning hadith is from the Prophet and the end of it is from mankind. No, this is rejected. And as far
would
as
it be this, that they're
and the rest part here where he uses this proof, the hadith, amongst the five major hadith that we are instructed to learn, la darara wa la dirar. Okay? This is a usul fiqh principle, one of the major usul fiqh principles. Okay? La darar, there's no causing harm, wa la dirar, and there's no reciprocating more harm. Okay? That's not happening here. There's no harm. Because the one that you go to when you are harmed is who? Your father. Okay, so how is it that he's harming you and then he's the one that's going to, that is tasked with alleviating your harm when you're his child? And Allah says, wa ummihi wa abi. Showing that the natural way to turn to is to come back to your father. Go ahead. And then the ayah says, wa ummihi wa abi is referring to you turning back to your father for help when you need it.
No.
Now, what were you going to say, Abu Sa'id?
I forgot, Sheikh.
Alhamdulillah. Tafadhal.
It is impermissible for the son to claim a debt from his father. Once, a man accompanied his father to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Stop. So now, just by the very nature of that next statement shows again the butlan, the invalidity of the statement that they're trying to place in here. The impermissible of a child to claim a debt from his father. You get my point?
Yes, sir. I understand.
Go ahead. Start again.
No. It is impermissible for the son to claim a debt from his father. Once, a man accompanied his father to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to claim a debt from him, the father. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the son, what may mean, you and your property belong to your father.
Continue.
This hadith states that it is impermissible for the son to claim a debt from his father. In addition, Allah exalted be He says what may mean, and to parents do good. Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 83.
It doesn't say do good. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Okay? And so it's the ayah that I quoted earlier. And to your parents, deal with them in the most excellent fashion and do everything but worship them. And this is why we can learn from the Asians. They are seemingly the most dutiful to their parents. Even so far as worshiping their graves and being in the service of their graves. So we can take from them the good and leave from them the evil that they do. So we don't go so far as to worship their graves, but we should keep up their graves and keep them clean and orderly. Okay? If we're not told to say oof to our parents, suck our teeth, roll our eyes, okay? You can't claim a debt, so how can you claim that this is not, you can't touch something of mine? No.
I got a question, Sheikh.
Nah.
About the debt thing.
Go ahead.
If you have a parent where, we have a parent where they won't allow you to say, hey, you ain't got to pay me back.
Say that again.
What if you have a parent or a father where if you say, like, say he wanted to pay you, he damaged something for you, like crashed your car or something like that. And he said, I'm going to pay you for that. And he'd be like, nah, you ain't got to pay me. And be like, nah, I am. He says, nah, I am going to pay you for that.
Okay, so, you know, that's him.
You understand the question?
Yes, I do. Let's say your father takes your car and he crashes.
Who is this,
okay?
Man?
Okay? You hear me?
Yeah, sorry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm here. Somebody at my house.
Okay, and your father says, okay. You say, well, okay, you crashed my car, mashallah, I'll take care of it. He says, no, I'm going to take care of it. This is fathers. They do that sometimes. You know, they take care of their sons. You don't have to say anything. If he pays you or doesn't pay you, doesn't make a difference. If he does, then this is from, again, his fatherly care over his son. If he doesn't, then that's his right. Okay? You don't have to do anything about that. Does that make sense? I don't know. Am I being heard?
Yes, sir. We hear you, Sheikh. It makes sense.
Okay, continue. He might have clicked out just to see what was going on his side.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. And to parents, do ihsan. Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 83.
I just want to say, don't you see how the difference is when you hear it in English and then you see the Arabic, you know? That's why it's very important to know the term. They just said good, and you wouldn't have been able to qualify that, you know? But when you know the Arabic, you say, hold on, no, that's a totally big difference between doing good and doing ihsan. Brother, continue.
No. Thus Allah glorified be
He. I'm so sorry. I couldn't hear what you said, Sheikh. Some Majnoon dude just pulled up on me. I didn't know what he was talking about.
Is everything straight?
Yeah, he's gone now, but he was bucked.
Yeah, that's what happens when you live in Buffalo. You know, alhamdulillah, you'll be allowed me. It's a crazy, crazy American world, man. And may Allah bless you and protect your family.
Some dangerous stuff. I mean,
alhamdulillah. Are you sure everything's okay?
Yeah, he walked away. He's up. He's a Muslim Bangladesh guy. He's really Majnoon. He's walking up the street. But
yeah, I mean, just because you're Muslim doesn't mean you can't become Majnoon. But alhamdulillah, you're safe. Understand. Yeah, you're safe here. Alhamdulillah. I forgot what the point was that we were making.
But say you have a parent. You have a parent where they may crash. They may have wrecked something of your property, and they say, "I'm gonna pay you back for that." And then you say, "No, you don't have to pay me back for that. You can drop that." And then they say, "No, I'm gonna pay you back." Like, exactly.
Yeah, you don't argue that with them. You say, alhamdulillah, mashallah, and you go about your business. And if they pay you back, that's from their fatherly care that, you know, fathers do sometimes, just like any other gift that they give you or any service they do for you. It's teaching you how to be a father, you know, how your father wants you, you know, to be responsible for yourself. And if they don't do it, then, of course, that's from his rights as well, not to have to do that. You understand?
Yes, sir. Understand.
So I wouldn't argue with him about it at all. I would just say, okay, mashallah. And, you know, I would go about fixing it. And if he got around to fixing it, then mashallah. If he didn't, then mashallah. And if he had already fixed it and he gives you the money, if you don't need the money, then buy him some gift from it, you know? Take care of him in some other way with it, in direct fashion.
Yes, sir. Okay. Jazakallah khair.
Continues, please, sir. فَأَمَرَ سُبْحَانَهُ بِالْإِسَانِ نعم.
نعم. Thus Allah, glorified be He, ordains Muslims to do ihsan to parents. So a Muslim child should never claim a debt from his parents. Yet, if the child is unable to earn his living, and his father cannot afford his expenditures, he is permitted to claim the remittance he deserves from his father in order to safeguard his life. To illustrate, the Prophet ﷺ said to Hind bint Utbah, what may mean, take what is sufficient for you and your children, and the amount should be just and reasonable.
Okay, so this is in regard to a wife. Remember, we have to make sure that the qiyas is suitable. Right? So Hind is being given permission to steal from her husband. So when she's being told take, she's not taking from her own. She's taking from his purse. Right? So here the ulama are saying, it is awla min bab al awla, more permissible for him to have and hold something he needs for himself to provide for his family before giving to his parents. However, we see from the hadith of parenting that the man was given some animals and he would go milk that animal, and he came to feed his parents from the milk before he fed his wife and children. And even though his wife and children were crying and complaining behind him, he still did not feed his wife and children until after his parents woke up from their sleep, ate their fill, and then he gave the remaining to his family. And this man was given a special blessing of Allah saving them from an avalanche due to this particular deed. So we have to put the zahir, the apparent hadith that talks about how to deal with parents, takes precedence over an implication that doesn't mention the parents, but you're making qiyas. Does that make sense?
Naam, you're saying that this qiyas may not necessarily be correct.
I'm saying that from one angle, they're saying that it's from the bab al-awla. It's more preferred that he preserve some of his wealth off to the side because it's his already in his possession. And when he gives to his father, if he gives everything to his father, he gives everything except for his whatever he needs for himself, the need, what he needs. And it sounds good. But that's qiyas. Where does qiyas go in the rank of breaking things down? It comes last. First, we have the zahir from the Qur'an and the sunnah. Or we have the ijma', then we have the zahir from the Quran and the sunnah. Okay? Then we have qiyas. You get my point?
Yes, sir.
So, you don't put qiyas in front of a hadith that is zahir, that is apparent, that has the apparent literal mention of how a person is supposed to deal with his wealth. Okay? And his parents. So, alhamdulillah, may Allah make it easy for us. Both seem correct. Okay? But he's not allowed to steal from his father as Hind is doing. Not taking from his father. It's from his own wealth. And he's putting off to the side what he needs and giving the parents the majority share. And Allah knows best. Continue.
Naam. In fact, giving hibat to one another removes rancor and malice, removes resentment and malice from people's hearts, and begets love and concord among them. The Prophet ﷺ says, give presents to one another, for a hiba removes rancor from the heart.
Please use language that we use. Rancor is not a word we use in our normal everyday English.
Naam, give hibat to one another, for a hiba removes resentment from the heart. On the other hand, a gift should be rejected, even if it is, on the other hand, a hiba should not be rejected, even if it is very humble or little. It is an act of the sunnah to give something in return for the hiba, as the Prophet ﷺ used to accept hibat and give something in return, which reflects the glorious Islamic values and noble character. This is the end of the chapter.
So, makarim and shiami, this is like noble character, noble qualities, you know, knightly honor and dignity. And like I said, these are subtle ways of protecting yourself as well. And protecting your honor.
Naam. So inshallah, does anyone have any questions for the Sheikh on the topic before I close the class? All right. So jazakallah khair, Sheikh, and thank you all for joining us today on Outlining Fiqh. We learned a lot, but let's not rush things. If hadith, usul, and histories are still partially clouded in mysteries, then refrain yourself from speaking, for what can you teach? To have little knowledge and teach is to cheat. Go back to the graph and the knowledge within. There are 38 chapters to finish. Let's begin.